Back to my Nixon timeline, because it's the best is yet to come.
Really? You got more?
Well, sure. It's 1964 now.
Okay.
And two articles are written in Time Life. Remember that magazine?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
they
Time
own
Life.
The
Zapruder film, right. Yes. And we're one of the 11 checks in the Rockefeller files. Uh-huh. So the Claire Luce, the Luce name, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon and Ford both write articles before the Warren Commission report is released, and both of them in Time Life come to the conclusion that Oswald acted alone,
okay,
and all by himself was responsible for the Kennedy assassination, and that they can hardly wait for the Warren Commission report to endorse that finding.
Okay.
And that's exactly what happened in September. The Warren report releases its findings that, oh my goodness, Oswald did it all by himself. And then, what do you know, in 1968, Nixon is elected president.
What do you
know? Not a landslide, just a squeaker.
Right.
And where does most of his support come from? Well, the Teamsters Union and the Mafia, who he ordered his Justice Department to stop referring to as the Mafia. So in 1971, Nixon gets a campaign contribution of at least $300,000.
A lot of money back then.
Yeah, sure was.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he grants a pardon to Jimmy Hoffa, who had been convicted of jury tampering 5 years earlier.
He pardoned Jimmy Hoffa?
He pardoned Jimmy Hoffa, yeah, in 71.
Jeez.
Now and then in that same month, E. Howard Hunt is drafted by George Bush to come into the Nixon White House. And then the following year, in June 72, of course, this crowd of burglars is caught breaking into the Watergate complex. And it was Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy that were identified as, hey, these are the guys behind the whole thing. So that same week, Nixon calls Richard Helms, who was the head of the CIA. And you know that one thing about the Nixon tapes, and you can get them, listen to them today. And this phone call with Helms goes something like this. Hey, you know, if Hunt is tried for this Watergate thing, he's going to blab about the CIA's links to the Bay of Pigs thing. Now, that's what he called it, the Bay of Pigs thing.
Which is all his involvement, right?
Well, Bob Haldeman, in his book, said that Nixon had a code word for the CIA assassination of JFK. And his code was the Bay of Pigs thing. So when...
Oh, I see. That's what they
Nixon,
called it.
That's what Nixon called it. You know, in one of his tapes, he famously said, whoa, this is going to pull the scab off the Bay of Pigs thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this idea that the CIA was complicit in the assassination of John Kennedy. So he calls Richard Helms and says, we got to put a stop to this Watergate thing because it's going to reveal the whole Bay of Pigs thing. And so next, I don't know, 3 months later, June, July, August, September, 4 months later, he's elected in a landslide. And of course, on that same election finance campaign report, you'll find $1 million contribution from the Teamsters.
$1 million. Good for them.
They gave him $1 million. Now, Haldeman, in May of 73, reminds Nixon that, hey, you called the CIA and you told them that they were hiding the Bay of Pigs secrets. Now, this wasn't discovered until 1996, when the National Archives released a batch of the Watergate tapes. And all of these conversations between Nixon and Haldeman and E. Howard Hunt have been deleted for national security reasons. So you remember that whole thing about Rosemary Woods deleting
18 minutes.
Right. How come it's been erased 27 times? It's because he's directly speaking about the Kennedy assassination, according to Haldeman.
Wouldn't it have been a real monster if people back in the early 70s knew what the Watergate stuff was about?
Right.
That would have been the bomb.
It had already started to the point that, remember, we did the House Subcommittee on Assassination in 75. But now we're back in 73, and in January 73, it was Nixon who picked Congressman Ford, who, remember, Nixon also picked to be on the Warren Commission, and it was Ford who, together with Arlen Specter, put forth the magic bullet theory. In fact, it was Ford who wrote, there's a handwritten note from Gerald Ford to the staff saying, hey, that back wound is higher than you've got it in the drawings.
Really?
So it was Ford that lifted the wound up Kennedy's back so that the single bullet theory would line up. So Ford is
That's
the one
crazy.
That, and it's in his handwriting. It's in his notes on the original report where Ford is saying to the committee, hey, this wound is too low. You need to raise it up. And they did. They showed the wound higher in that little pencil drawing of Kennedy's
Something
body.
That important. Just a little memo, and they just raise it up.
That's right. And they did. And so August of 1974, Nixon resigns the presidency.
And then gets pardoned by
September
Ford.
September 1st, he gets a pardon. And curiously, Ford gives him a preemptive pardon, like he hasn't even been charged with anything, even though that Watergate grand jury indicted him. He was an unindicted co-conspirator. So there was 40 people in the Nixon White House that went down for this Watergate scandal. And Nixon was named as an unindicted co-conspirator. That's not... So at any rate, Ford gives him a pardon for all crimes.
All crimes.
He might have ever committed.
Yeah, ever.
Like a blanket pardon.
Or will commit.
For any crimes that he already committed.
Oh, my God.
That's convenient.
Man, that's just... Wow. I mean,
I guess... And then, of course, to me, this whole thing now... when E. Howard Hunt died... Now, and I will say again, I believe... E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis and the Lifton book, Best Evidence, is a great book on the topic. Frank Sturgis and E. Howard Hunt were in Dealey Plaza. They were two of the three tramps, and the third one was a captain in the Army 57 who curiously participated in the Bay of Pigs invasion. So these three tramps, photographed, documented, one is clearly Frank Sturgis. And one is clearly E. Howard Hunt. And then, of course, on his deathbed, Hunt confessed to his son, St. John Hunt. And, you know, he's still alive and around, and he even made a tape of his father mm-hmm. in which he says in his confession, hey, LBJ, LBJ.
Yeah.
He's got his dad's diaries, and he's got everything.
Mm. So. Isn't there a photo of Bush 41 in Dallas?
Oh, sure. Bush 41 was in Dallas.
Dallas that day?
Poppy Bush, yep.
Wow.
And there's a note here. Well, you asked me what was in the archives.
Yeah.
I did find a note. It is from Lee Harvey Oswald to a Mr. Hunt
mm-hmm.
saying, I need some help here. I need information.
Well, Lee Harvey Oswald writing to E. Howard Hunt?
E. Howard Hunt.
When?
Yeah. Right, November 8th, right before the assassination.
You're kidding me.
And Hunt's name, well, Hunt's name comes up, of course, again in Watergate. But
yeah,
there it is.
Man. So is the United States government's position to this day still that Lee Harvey Oswald was the acted alone?
Yeah, and anyone who
says differently
espouses that.
Conspiracy theorist.
No, anyone who says that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone
right.
clearly has an interest in maintaining that charade.
Oh, okay.
So
anybody you hear out there
saying, oh, yeah, it's clear Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
Right.
They're still sticking to this story. This is the official Warren Report. Even though the Church Committee... At the end of all of the things they did, concluded that this was a conspiracy. There was more than one person.
Yeah, which nobody ever talked about it in 75, right?
No.
The Church Committee said that, but...
But nobody... reporting.
I don't remember that coming.
No reporting.
But they actually said that there was more than one people.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they concluded that a conspiracy most likely killed President Kennedy.
A good friend of mine who really knows a lot about guns, and he said that he's looked at this whole rifle that Oswald had. And,
as have I.
And he said there's
Man
no...
Mannlicher Carcano, 5.65.
Yeah, he said there's no way you could fire that thing, could you, in 3 seconds?
Well, and this was one of the documents in this release, was from a Cuban intelligence officer who said he knew Lee Harvey Oswald and that he was a, quote, good shot.
Good shot.
This not according to the Marines, but this according to the Cubans, who, of course, had great interest in distancing themselves. And just like Johnson, you know, finding another reason for the Kennedy assassination.
Well, and what kind of rifle was it?
A Mannlicher Carcano, 5.65 millimeter, if memory serves correct.
I mean, have they done ballistics thing on that? In the amount of time these shots were fired?
Yeah, it was a bolt action, cheap Italian rifle. Mail order rifle ordered under the name of Alex Heidel, which incidentally, in The Man Who Knew Too Much, he was Richard Hegel. Richard Hegel alleged himself to be Oswald's CIA handler. And 2 weeks before the Kennedy assassination, he walked into a bank in San Antonio, pulled out a handgun and shot it into the air, and then put the handgun on the ground and sat down.
Oh, good.
So that he would be arrested and turned over to the FBI. He's in a federally insured bank, allegedly committing a bank robbery. So then they capture this guy, and he, 2 weeks before the Kennedy assassination, spills the entire story to the FBI. You know, there's a plot going on. This is what's going to happen. It's blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was, in fact, a CIA operative. The name of the book, The Man Who Knew Too Much, the author Richard Case Nagel and Alex Heidel, and they have a code that the CIA will not confirm of how an agent is given an alias. So when you're brought into the CIA, your handler has a name, and the last four digits or four letters of his name become the last four letters of your name. That way, anyone within the agency can know by your alias who recruited you and who you work for or with.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Man.
They're so good, the CIA.
These guys are good.
Alex Heidel, and this was one of the tidbits revealed in The Man Who Knew Too Much, a book by Richard Case Nagel. Read it if you want or don't. I have. He basically backs up the case that Oswald was not intended to be the killer. He was, in fact, Jack Ruby, who photography, you know, when everybody's running up to the grassy knoll there? Jack Ruby was one of them. He was supposed to be at the bottom, at the door of the book depository, and he was supposed to be arrested with Oswald. And then he was supposed to reveal why Oswald and he did this. That was
the plan.
That was the plan.
Why would Ruby do that?
Well, Ruby was told that he would, and this again according to Richard Case Nagel, that he would be exonerated as not having done anything, not having pulled the trigger, but his presence would reveal, and Oswald was supposed to be assassinated. He was supposed to be killed on the scene. See, that was, and Ruby was supposed to be left behind to tell the story and then exonerated of the charge.
Uh-huh.
So that whole thing fell apart, and it quickly went wild, rogue, where nothing went as planned from that point forward except the cover-up. And there is great evidence. There's some an airplane pilot that dispatched on these secret missions that claims that he landed in Dallas that day, and three people got on his plane, and he took off. That's all he knows. And so the little tidbits like this are filled in. And, of course, the people that escaped were the guilty men, the ones that really pulled the trigger, which, by now, the idea that Lee Harvey Oswald, with a cheap Italian rifle from a book depository, could somehow fire the shots that did all this damage is just unprovable at this point.
Yeah. Tonio writes in, I wonder if Andrew has seen Francis Connolly's documentary, It's All a Rich Man's Trick, and how his perspective confirms or contradicts the assessment of the JFK assassination and who was involved.
No, A Rich Man's Trick. Huh?
Yeah, you haven't seen that. Yeah.
No, I'll add it to the list.
Okay. Has Andrew or Patrick ever seen the movie JFK to 9/11? Any thoughts on the accuracy of that? Well, that's another one.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one. But again, the ties, I could make them myself between the JFK assassination. And that's the nice thing about knowing all of this history, so that when it comes up again, it's like, oh, yeah, now I see the connection. So, the fact that George Bush's son was in charge of security at the World Trade Center and so forth. You know, all of these, again, little tidbits just reinforce, and we know who the CIA's front companies are. We've discovered and discussed in the past the idea that the CIA actually has hundreds of front companies, probably the most well-known, Air America, right, where the CIA had all these planes, that they had their own private little air force. And Eugene Hassenfuss, the pilot that was shot down in Nicaragua with a plane full of guns and a CIA ID. You know, again, this all ties back to the CIA operates clandestine companies throughout the world to cover up their crimes.
Isn't it curious, Andrew Goss, too, how sloppy sometimes and how in-your-face these people can be? I mean, think about, oh, we found the passport of one of the...
On top of the wreckage at the World Trade Center, yes.
Here's the passport.
The very same M.O., and, you know, the same M.O.
And,
exactly.
And
they work from a playbook.
Yeah, they have the address of the apartment of this so-called alleged, you know, guys with a box cutter.
I mean, that was so absurd.
Right. And then the same in the same vein, 50 years earlier, they paste Oswald's head on this picture, which was an obvious...
And guess who supplied that?
Well, Life magazine, right?
George de Morenschild supplied it to Life magazine.
Tell folks about that. I mean, I remember that from when it was a thing and everybody knew that thing was a scam.
Well, George de Morenschild is the man who famously... Oh, he also wrote a letter to George Bush saying, hey, you got to get these guys off my back. And he was a Bush associate in the oil industry. An emigre came to the United States from a foreign country named George de Morenschild. And any serious study of the Kennedy assassination will reveal the existence of George de Morenschild, the father figure who took Lee Harvey Oswald under his arm and got him his job at the map-making firm that he worked at before the Texas School Book Depository, and then moved him over to the, you know, he was his mentor, if you will, and also heavily connected to the intelligence community. So George de Morenschild's wife is the one who supplied that picture of Lee Harvey Oswald famously standing in the backyard holding a weapon. I believe he was at Ruth Payne's house, who also was very helpful in furthering this idea that Lee Harvey Oswald by himself, lone nut, with the rifle under his arm, going to work that day, telling everybody that it was curtain rods. That's who killed the President of the United States.
Yeah, you can actually Google Oswald's backyard photo. And you can see this photo we're talking about.
It's hacked.
I mean, it is so obviously Photoshopped. Back then, I guess they just used a razor blade. And
that's right. They actually cut and paste, cut his head off and stuck it on there.
Crazy.
And you know, Bob Groden, who I've quoted before, who's the photographic expert for the church committee, he knew that photo was fake and said he saw it as fake because, remember, this is a public domain photograph. This is nothing the government put out. This was on the cover of Life magazine. Right, so Time Life, obviously owned by the same Luce family.
And the same people that were in the photo. The Zapruder film.
That's them, yes. Yeah. Okay, so...
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. But the photos he said that scared him were the official autopsy photographs, which were always in the possession of the government, had never left the possession of the government, and he said that they were clearly altered. They were altered to hide the exit wound at the back of Kennedy's head, at the occipital region of the back of John Kennedy's head, which Jackie famously dove over the back onto the hood to retrieve the part of his head, his skull, that actually came off and landed on the trunk of the car. Jackie Kennedy is seen in the Zapruder film retrieving that piece of the president's head. Sad, sad point. Like they could actually put him back together, was her thought.
And so this Groden, who's a photographic expert, he knew that the autopsy...
He knew they were faked
and
that they were archived photographs. These were the official autopsy photographs, had never been out of the National Archives. And he wondered to me, and he said he's never been more scared in his life than he was at that moment, because
he
realized,
man,
now we're not talking about the mob here. Mm-hmm. The mob doesn't have the power to alter National Archive photographs, nor does the mob have the power to do all of the cover-up things that were done in the wake of the Kennedy assassination.
Back in the 70s, I interviewed Dr. Wecht, Cyril?
Cyril Wecht, Cyril Wecht. The medical examiner from
at Parkland.
Altoona, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Was he at Parkland?
No, he wasn't at Parkland. He was not one of the original doctors.
I'm trying to
recall
why he was key.
He's one of the preeminent medical examiner in the country.
Yeah.
And he looked at the medical, what he called the forensic evidence. And this is, of course, where Lipton's book comes in. The preeminent CSI type guy in the whole country.
Right.
Was Cyril Wecht.
Yeah.
And, you know, very well respected among his peers. He put forward a case that there is no way that this
shot
came from behind. There's no way. And people who, I mean, he had no axe to grind. He's just a medical examiner. He was an ME. That was his job. And it's Cyril Wecht who, best evidence, of course, is the body. And, you know, his clear conclusion was that the Warren Commission was false. It was not correct in where the shots came from, how they were fired, any of that.
Did he ever take hits for that, Wecht?
Cyril Wecht? Oh, yeah. Goodness, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
He got a little pushback on that thing, man. Well.
Oh, yeah. One journal inside the closed to the public Rockefeller archives has been handwritten by Nelson Rockefeller in his journal. 3 days after the assassination, it says, "We pulled it off."
No.
Yeah.
They have a copy of that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We pulled it off.
We pulled it off 3 days later. He then recounts a series of blunders and how he was covering them up. Some of those steps included ordering the deaths of others. The entry covered 2 pages of handwriting roughly on a journal about 4 inches high and 6 inches wide, which was leather-bound with red speckled marbling on ivory-colored binding. That was McCone, who was director of CIA at the time, and his name appeared as one that Nelson Rockefeller was going to talk to in order to make sure that the 4 people in those notes didn't live to testify. I say about 4 because there was also a 5th person that he wasn't decided on. And in this same archive is where these 11, the photograph of 11 people, 11 checks written on the same day. They were all written in Lyndon Johnson's study at his home. And that's what the photo in the glass frame clearly showed. And there's 1 check per man in the photo, except for the Rockefeller signature not being on the wall. You know why? Because he didn't have to blackmail himself. You know, that was the purpose of this photo. 5 men seated on a long couch and 7 men standing behind him. Bush Sr., McCone, Alan Dulles, J. Edgar Hoover, and one of the Browns in Brown Brothers Harriman and Brown and Root was on the right end.
Brown and Root.
Johnson was on the top left, then Nixon next to him. Next to Nixon was John Connolly. Next to John Connolly was Henry Luce, the buyer of the Zapruder film, and a Skull and Bones man, and the sponsor of, what do we call him? The next Bush. W. Bush. W. Bush. You know that name, Herbert Walker. Walker. Walker.
Yeah.
Walker. His grandfather, Walker, was the founding partner of Brown Brothers Harriman.
And Brown and Root, do you know what their name is today, that same company?
That's Brown, Root, and Kellogg. Kellogg, Brown, and Root, right?
Oh.
Kellogg.
Also, it's Halliburton.
KBR? Halliburton. Oh, it is Halliburton, yeah. And Dick
Bush
Cheney.
Cheney and the boys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same company.
And the last man in that picture? Last man in the picture?
Yeah.
Henry Kissinger.
Kissinger, old Hank. He got around in those days, right?
Hank, yeah. And, of course, 3 of these 11 people were later trustees of the Rockefeller Foundation. So,
and, Mr. Goss, the list and the extent...
Of dead people?
Of dead people.
Only the Clintons surpass it.
Man.
Only surpassed by the Clintons.
What's the count of witnesses that just showed up with accidents, airplane crashes?
But all of them.
Just a lot.
All of them.
They just killed people, man.
Yeah, I mean, left and right. And it stood as a record of how many people died in the wake of a conspiracy investigation.
Yeah.
Until the Whitewater investigation.
Seriously. Yeah, until Bill and Hillary. Boy.
Bill and Hillary Clinton, the record for people dying of, you know, various causes.
Oops,
it's not like all of them were shot.
Yeah,
you know,
there he goes.
He got run over by a train. Oh, look, a plane crash. Oh, look, a car crash. So all of the number of people that died that were associated with the Whitewater investigation of the Clintons. And, of course, that leads to the whole Jackson Stevens and drug running by the CIA and MENA, Arkansas. I mean, it was, if you look at the history of a coup, if there was a coup d'etat in 63, they've kept power ever since.
The same people.
Right, until Donald Trump upset the bandwagon. I mean, they had this thing firmly in their grasp and firmly in their control since 1963.
Really? So you think this was the beginning of the boys running the show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, especially if you look at the connections of every single president.
Yeah. It's so, all there, right? Yeah.
And when the Men That Killed Kennedy came out in 2004 and Barr McClellan's book in 2004, the list of people who protested read like a who's who in the conspiracy. You had that Valenti guy, of course, head of the motion picture in 63, head of the Motion Picture Association of America. And in 63, he was a consultant to Vice President Johnson. Mm-hmm. And along with Bill Moyers, he was on Air Force One when they were flying back from Austin. Right?
Yes.
And former Presidents Ford and former President Carter both protested loudly that the History Channel should show this anymore and said, you know, don't show it. Don't show it anymore.
So so since 63, you're saying the boys, the deep state, have had control of the ball and until they fumbled last year with President Trump.
And they will never do it again.
Yeah, that's really interesting to think about. If he can make it, right, President Trump, I don't know, 4 years or 8 years, it's never going to happen again, is it?
Yeah.
A rebel or a renegade to be in the White House. Just not going to happen. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Yeah, I agree. Why would they do it? Why would they ever allow it again? They're not going to go through this. Mm. So this is a pushback. This is why every television, radio, magazine, talk show thing are trying to just get rid of President Trump because he's a wild card.
Well, me, I'm fascinated by these checks in the glass case in the Rockefeller archives, right? I mean, you know, it's like, try to explain to me what the significance of this display is. So each check has a number lightly written in pencil on the top right edge. They're numbered from 1 to 11. They're arranged in the same pattern as the men in the picture. Their signatures match the picture. And in every one has a reference to a file in the Rockefeller archives. And in the case of Nixon's file, you open that file and there you'll find this Nixon and Ruby connection. You open Kissinger's file and you'll find sexual salacious nut stuff. Nothing to do with the Kennedy assassination, but enough to understand why Kissinger was clearly in tow, because they had dirt on him of a nature that indicated his homosexuality and things like that. So the 11 checks in the glass display at the Rockefeller Archives, to me, are the thing that needs to be blown open and put out into the public. I would love to know what the explanation is for this display. Why do you have these 11 men photographed in Johnson's study the week before the assassination? And why is everything so prominently displayed and carefully documented? And this, of course, to me would indicate that this is the dirt that I have on you. Come and see it if you'd like. It's right there for everyone to see, but with no explanation. What is this a display of? So
What about though good old Ronnie and Jelly Beans in 1980? Was he, I mean, he was a clean guy, right? He wasn't in on the deal.
Ronnie was forced to take who as his vice president?
I don't even remember.
Oh, come on.
Gerald Ford. Mondale. No, he's a, Agnew.
So. No.
I don't know. I don't
George
even. George W.
Bush.
And then they tried to shoot Ronnie.
Sure they did. They tried to take Ronnie out.
George W. Oh, yeah.
No, excuse me. George H.W.
George H.W.
Poppy Bush.
Poppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a VP, and then, they tried to off...
Well, as I put in my definition of money series,
Reagan,
I said, you know, just like they did with, McKinley, you know, in case you get any ideas, look over your shoulder, there's Teddy Roosevelt ready to take your job. And it was the same with Ronnie. In case you get any ideas, you know, our man in the White House is
Poppy.
Poppy Bush, who brought in, you know, Howard Hunt. And
So he brought them all in as VP, and then he had ties with the CIA as
Oh,
well.
Goodness,
yeah. He started the CIA, right?
And Mr. George Bush of the CIA is mentioned in the Warren Commission documents. And, you know, he tried to, George Bush publicly said that he didn't know anything about the CIA until he was appointed director.
Yeah. Let me just do a soft break here. We're not going to go anywhere, but our affiliates are leaving us here in a couple of seconds. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick Timpone, Andrew Goss, he's here every Wednesday. And hope you enjoyed the show where you're listening, and now we're going to stick around. Okay, so we're going to stick around here. We just had to dump off there some of our affiliates. Mm-hmm. So, of course, George Bush, 41, was the vice president. So they let Reagan in because they knew that Poppy was going to...
Poppy was going to take care... Well, they wouldn't let Reagan in until he accepted Poppy as his... that was all done at the convention.
I got you.
So he has to be your vice president, and then we'll back you. And okay, all right, then. You know, here I am. And so that was their man in the White House. And so Reagan... And people will say that towards the end of his term, Reagan virtually... was disconnected from public business and all of it.
Yeah,
was,
he had those Alzheimer's going on.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And that George Bush was already running the show.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway.
It's amazing they let him run for 8 years, but Jody Foster was a bad shot. Just kidding.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Boy, it's another three named, was it David Wayne Chapman? What was the guy's name?
Yes, another one of those
three named thing, yeah, Chapman.
David Chapman.
Chapman, yeah. Wow, what a...
Yeah, yes. And, of course, other names have surfaced in this release of documents. One is William Stamps Farish. In 1942, Farish pled no contest to conspiring with the Nazis. He had been a principal manager of a merger between Standard Oil, the Rockefeller Company of New Jersey, and I.G. Farben, who you may recall, they were the ones that ran Auschwitz and had their subsidiaries and invented the Zyklon gas. The connections between George Herbert Walker, his grandfather, Walker, who appointed his, you know, that was his maternal grandfather. He appointed his paternal grandfather, Prescott Bush, to be the head of Brown Brothers Harriman, of course, in partners with Averell Harriman. So the connections go back to World War II. And run right through 9/11. So we were asking about a Kent from JFK to 9/11. I would argue that it goes back way further than that, to the founding of the OSS, before the House Un-American Activities in 47, into World War II, into World War I. And World War II, especially with the creation of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which later became the CIA. So Harry Truman was a thoroughly compromised president. Ike, they tried to stay out of his way with Nixon again as vice president. And Nixon, of course, did all the dirty work for the boys. And Ike was just kind of allowed, he was like a revered figure, allowed to do whatever he wanted to do without threat. And then they just simply tried to countermand his moves. Like, for instance, Ike issued millions in United States notes to pay for the interstate system.
Yeah, they didn't try to shoot him.
And they didn't shoot him. They did not. Because he didn't have a James J. Saxon, and he didn't monetize the silver dollars that were in the mint. When Nixon finally took over as president, one of the first things he did was to dump all of the silver certificate issues and say that they're no longer redeemable. And then he sold off the silver dollars at public auction. He sold them to individuals through the GSA. In fact, I bought a batch of 17 coins the other day that a gentleman had picked up in 1972, for $30 a coin for these 17 silver dollars. And I paid him $6,800 for this 17 coin group that I guess he had 17 times 30 bucks. What did he have in those? $500 maybe, yeah. 510, so $6,800. It's and they were all sold off, and the silver certificates were canceled in 64. Immediately after the assassination of John Kennedy had authorized the striking of new silver dollars in 1964. we would have had the first silver dollar since 1935 had Kennedy's order been allowed to stand. But then, of course, as soon as Johnson came in, he canceled those plans. Many of these coins had already been minted at the Denver Mint. A few escaped into circulation. I have seen one personally. So I know they exist. I know the legislation is there. I know it was canceled by Johnson. I know that these U.S. notes were withdrawn from circulation immediately after the assassination of President Kennedy. So like my friend Kenny, he's a good lawyer. He always asks the same question, who benefits? He's the one that famously said to me when my friend Ralph Renee wrote that book, NASA Mooned America, that said we never went to the moon. Kenny said, you know, I always suspected we never went there. I'm like, why do you say that? He goes, because if we went to the moon in 69, we would have been strip mining it by 75.
That's hilarious.
So, and I understand his logic.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah,
so,
man.
Yeah, so I think that the web of intrigue that runs through this entire story has to date back to, the founding of the Republic, if you start with the first Bank of the United States and the intrigue there. And it's always, as a good lawyer would say, who benefits? Qui bono is that lawyer saying, who benefit? So who benefited from the assassination of John Kennedy? Who benefited from the assassination of Abraham Lincoln or of James Garfield or of William McKinley? These are the only four presidents ever assassinated, and all by lone nuts with no conspiracy ties between them. So who benefited from each of these assassinations? And now that's the topic of my new movie with Ken Delvecchio. Four presidents. We're starting our principal shooting this weekend.
Really?
So I'm excited about this film.
Do you have a female co-star love interest?
No, I do not. No, we're using archival footage and original photographs of the era. I'm acting as a narrator in this in this film. It's going to be about an hour and a half.
A documentary.
A documentary, yeah.
Cool.
Well, because, you know what? I mean, there's enough fiction out there. Let's look at the facts. And you can make your own conclusions. I'll explain in the film what each of these presidents did. And, you know, how McKinley, for example, put us back on the gold standard. And how the crime of 1873 led James Garfield to issue this very famous quote. And this one is well documented. Many others, Jefferson quotes and such, are not. But this one, whosoever controls the volume of money in any nation is the absolute master over industry and commerce.
Wow. Whoever controls the volume of money.
Money in any country.
Is the word volume?
That's the word.
Yeah, that's where you can create more of it, right?
That's right, the volume of it. So whoever controls the volume of money in any country is the absolute master over industry and finance.
Ooh.
Wow, did he hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, Garfield, McKinley, Kennedy, and Lincoln all have in common. They were all assassinated by lone nuts, and they all, each and every man, tried to change the money system more in favor of the United States and the people of the United States and away from private banking interests that have controlled it since the days of Alexander Hamilton.
Well, there you have it. And that's the way it is. No, wait. Who said that?
So, Walter Cronkite. So, with that, I'm going to put all of this archival material away.
Yep.
And I'm going to go back to my current studies of money and now and how it's affected now, because I am absolutely convinced that the powers that control the issuance of money are the ones behind the assassination of John Kennedy, period. Nothing has convinced me otherwise. With all due respect to Gerald Posner, who wrote that famous case closed book in 1993, and with great thanks to Barr McClellan and his revelations in Blood, Money, and Power. And also, interestingly, Roger Stone wrote a book. You know Roger Stone?
Yeah, I've heard
Trump's
about
guy?
Yeah.
Right? He wrote a book entitled The Man Who Killed Kennedy. And he distinctly takes Barr's work and other things and lays the blame squarely on the feet of JFK.
Stone have a lot of credibility. I know he's he was on
Lauren. None.
No, he doesn't.
None.
Really.
Which is why the president has distanced himself from his friend, Roger Stone. I mean, they were friends.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that before that distancing, he shared a lot of information. And it's nearly 4,000 documents that the president has ordered withheld with great pressure from the CIA. They're the prime folks that have been lobbying President Trump since this deadline was looming. And so those documents that the FBI insists are going to be released, they're going to be rolling them out in the coming weeks. I want to see the live testimony of Richard Helms between him and the House Assassination Committee. Never been released.
Can you hold on a few more minutes?
Yeah, not many, but I'm here with you.
You got to go. Okay, I just want to do a couple emails, and then let's just do this, and we'll wrap it up, though. Recently, we asked Daniel Vitalis if taking pine pollen would dampen the body's own testosterone-building mechanism.
Yeah, some research has been done to see if pine pollen would have that kind of effect, because we see that with pharmaceutical testosterone supplementation. But what they found was you'd have to take the equivalent of about 2 bottles per day of our pine pollen extract to create that kind of an effect. So it's really safe for people at any age, and we found it to be really safe for both men and women. Today, a lot of women are also looking at testosterone replacement therapy. And I think before anybody looks to the pharmaceutical industry for anti-aging therapies, for anabolic therapies, they should probably look to nature first, and they should probably look to Sir Thrival's pine pollen products. And not just our pine pollen gold extract, but also our pine pollen pure potency, which contains erythritol root and also stinging nettle root, which helps to free testosterone that's already in the body but has been bound up. It helps to free that in the blood.
That's my favorite, the 4Ps. Really love this product. Been taking it for years. And right now, through November 7th, you can get pine pollen, boys and girls, 10% off, promo code ONERADIO. The promo code ONERADIO on any Sir Thrival link right now. Click and order, oneradionetwork.com.
One nutritional secret is that due to soil infertility, plants are not making the percentage of mineral sugars that they did before the advent of chemical agriculture. These mineral sugars are measured in the juice of a plant. The more sugar, the more minerals, proteins, fatty acids, vitamins, and phytochemicals. According to some experts, these mineral sugars are what activate the DNA of our body to be efficient at making protein. Due to an absence of enough of these mineral sugars in our plant foods today, our bodies require 40% more protein. One World Whey is a technologically enhanced whey protein food that can supplement the protein needs of your diet. It is easy to assimilate and it tastes delicious. However, its most attractive feature is that people from ages 3 to 80 are having phenomenal improvements in health. People are reporting vast improvements in energy and well-being that last for 4 hours or more from a single serving. You can click on the One World Whey banner ad and order right here at oneradionetwork.com. That's oneradionetwork.com.
Okay, we'll tap a few loose ends with Andrew Goss in the Real World of Money, and they'll be back next Wednesday, would be the 8th or so of November, every Wednesday, 9 to 11 o'clock, and really dig into what's the latest and greatest. But a big picture, you know, around the country, it looks like this whole pension fund thing is just wants to explode. Is there going to be a straw on the camel's back thing here with this, or you think it'll just be a slow? What do you think's going on? Like in California, man, it's just
it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn, boy. They're just going.
But it will catch fire. There's no question about it. There is no way, no actuarial way, for these states to pay their pension obligations.
It's not going to happen.
It's not possible. Not possible. It's just like Tesla and their motor cars. You know. Yeah. They can never have enough production to justify their existence. Hey, I want to sum up here on the Kennedy thing, okay?
Oh, sure.
Because I did this math here. There's still 3,147 records that are fully withheld.
3,147,
yeah. The ones that I'm still waiting to see are the church committee transcripts. Now, this is not this is just what people said to the church committee in the House Committee on Assassination. So none of the interview transcripts were included, and none of the CIA files on the officers who played a role in the Castro stuff, and that includes David Phillips, E. Howard Hunt, John O'Connell, William Harvey. These are all agents that I want to hear out. And then there's a 167-page CIA document by a Soviet agent stationed in Mexico City who's mentioned in the Warren Commission report. And in fact, it was the Warren Commission created to push back against what this agent was reporting. And again, those 167 pages have never been seen. And then Orest Pina, he's the New Orleans bar owner who told the Warren Commission that, hey, Oswald was an FBI informant. We saw him in the company of Guy Bannister in the bar all the time. Guy Bannister, you may recall, was the FBI agent with the CIA connections who ran an office at 544 Camp Street and had Oswald handing out pamphlets for the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. It was on the night of the police press conference where the chief of police identified him as an anti-Castro protester, and no one other than Jack Ruby himself, on film, on camera, the cameras all turned to him when he corrected the chief and said, no, he was the Fair Play for Cuba. That's a pro-Castro organization, on television, at a press conference. So there's Jack Ruby, before he assassinates Lee Harvey Oswald, correcting the police chief that Oswald was not an anti-Castro activist. He was a pro-Castro activist, to further try to tie him and the Cubans to this entire plot. So 3,147 documents yet to be released.
3147. This ties right in with Emily. She's in Chicago. Well, did Jack Ruby ever confess to anything before he died in prison? Enjoyed the show this morning.
Oh, yes. He confessed to his psychiatrist, and that was in the...
But isn't that privileged information?
Well, it was. It certainly wasn't released at the time. The Warren Commission got it. Ruby told psychiatrist Werner Tudor that the assassination was, quote, an act of overthrowing the government, end quote.
Ooh.
And that he knew, quote, who had President Kennedy killed, quote, added, I am doomed. I do not want to die. I was framed to kill Oswald. On a tape recording in Nixon's White House office in 1972, he told two top aides that the Warren Commission report, quote, pulled off the greatest hoax that has ever been perpetuated. No one knew that better than Richard, that's for sure. So, anyway, we live on, as Kevin Costner famously said in the movie JFK, I'm eating my Wheaties so that, 50 years from now, he could be around to see the release of these documents. And just as I predicted last week, there is no way that they're releasing these documents, folks. I don't care.
The real stuff.
It's not coming. That's it. It's just not coming. You will not see it.
So do you think it's going to be 50 years before Americans really know the whole scoop, say, on 9/11?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think even in 50 years you'll know the scoop on 9/11, but maybe in 50 years you'll know the scoop on the JFK assassination. And
after it gets to be so old and nobody
cares. That everyone who's concerned is dead. Just as the same timeline with the Pearl Harbor thing.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Sure.
So all of the stuff that's now coming out about Pearl Harbor, had it been known in 1942, would have led to riots. I mean, people would have absolutely hung the president and everyone associated with him.
Speaking of that, Harvey wants to know if Andrew has seen Ken Burns' Vietnam series and what he thinks of it, if he's seen it.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
You think it's accurate? I mean, who knows?
As accurate as it could be. Ken is a very historical kind of guy, so he's not going to stray too far out of the bounds. Also, Oliver Stone did a great one on the... the history we don't know.
Harry Truman. It's a 10. Yeah, I've got that
10
one.
10 part. Yeah, that's
a good
one
as well.
Yeah.
And so Ken
Burns, story is out there. It's just that the American public, Joe Q public, who has no interest in this whatsoever.
They don't care.
Mm-hmm. And their apathy is fueled by the misdirection that the mainstream media puts to us. So that why we call them fake news. The state of journalism today is such that there are no journalists.
It's a
shame. Anyone who calls themselves a journalist quickly finds me challenging them on that assertion, because journalists don't use anonymous sources. They quote their sources, and if they can't quote them, they don't use them. Remember, that whole thing started with Watergate, Deep Throat.
Sure.
The idea that, wait a minute, you can't just besmirch someone's reputation. This dossier that was put together on President Trump, that it now turns out was funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign, is a perfect example. Then this dossier makes its way into the FBI, who starts investigating it like it's true. And this is all the same stuff, again, MO, that's been done time and time and time again, done during the Garrison administration, done in other times when the government wants to misdirect and besmirch the journalist or reporter that's reporting the story. We only have a bunch of talking heads now. If there are any investigative journalists left out there, especially now with the death of Jim Mars, yeah. I haven't met him.
It really feels like you can do things like Las Vegas and Columbine and ISIS in New York City. And, you know, who knows who's behind these things?
Here's another one. This neighbor rents a truck from the Home Depot that I go to.
Oh, this guy yesterday?
Oh, gosh. You know, when Donald Trump talked about the celebrating in the streets on 9/11, he's talking about this section of Patterson where this gentleman lived among his peers. And I saw the local interviews this morning where all of everyone in his neighborhood is disavowing him. But to the reality that that's a community of folks who harbor these types of feelings, it's well documented. Now I know I'm not supposed to blame the entire community for the actions of one idiot. But yet, you know, that's what they want to do to me when they start saying, oh, well, guns killed all those people in Vegas and it was a lone nut with a gun, so they want to come and take everyone's guns. It's the same theory. So if you want to blame all gun owners for the actions of a single nut, then allow me to blame all jihadists for the actions of one jihad fighter. So there you go.
Well, you Second Amendment guys, you know, you're just all wacko, you know.
Sorry, it's gun nuts is the appropriate the appropriate slur.
He'd be a
white nationalist gun nuts.
He'd be a gun nut. Well, Mr. Goss, good job. I'm sure you're going to let us know if you see anything. Do you know, is it these 3,100 left, even though you don't expect anything, as soon, do they say, or when that's
gonna... chip at a time, rolling out over the next few weeks. I will point out here that I have in my hand, I'll flip.
Former nicotine stained hands, by the way.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Another 96 pages of things that I found that we never even had a chance to go over.
Really?
Marcotti and Victor Marcotti, CIA agent, and, well, Cuban Revolutionary Council. There really is a lot of stuff in there, and like putting together a puzzle. I love Helms said, we wouldn't feel too comfortable with releasing some of this very, 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 three varies, dirty linen to anyone without first taking it through you, because we're sure that when you become a former president, you wouldn't want the agency to not protect your interest, would you? Now, isn't that a great argument? Hey, you're the president. You don't want to release this stuff. Because if you do, then when you're not a president anymore, we're going to release everything we have on you. Ultimate blackmail.
And don't you think it's curious that O and 43 are out there dissing Donald Trump?
Of course.
I mean, isn't that, wow.
They're cut from the same cloth.
Man.
Remember where O came from? Chicago.
Yeah.
How'd he get to be a senator in Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know. Good luck with that. Well, it's a brave new world. The only history, what's a great quote?
Yeah.
What's that?
The only thing new in the world is
the history we don't know.
Huey P. Long.
Yeah.
Paraphrased by his stooge, Harry S. Truman.
Yeah. All right, kiddo, well, good job. Appreciate everything that you do, and we will see you next Wednesday at 9.
Thank you.
And you're still looking for a lot of shenanigans economically in the next couple months? Do you think things are going to wait to the beginning of the year before we kind of get some stuff hitting the fan?
New Fed chairman in February, Jerome Powell. And, of course, you know, it'll be a clean slate for him, so I don't think the Fed is going to raise rates today. I think they'll let him make the decision in February.
We going to get a tax cut before the end of the year?
Not a chance in hell.
Oh,
you've been
come
asking
on.
Me
the
that
president said he's going to get... Not he wants something to sign before Christmas.
Sorry. He should just go ahead and sign a Christmas card and get it over with.
I just don't think they're going to do
it. There's no way. And if they do, it's going to be so watered down that the prime elements that would get the Trump economy moving, such as the corporate tax cut... I mean, already they're talking about phasing that in over 5 years.
Oh, you're kidding.
So we'll take 5 years. And by 2022... we'll get to 20%. Now, 15 is now gone.
He's got that much pushback.
Yeah, there's so much pushback. And the only way to pay for it is to eliminate deductions. And so all the lobbying groups are in Washington.
Oh, man, the home builders are up in
They're
arms
everywhere.
About this
everywhere.
Possible mortgage thing. Huh?
And if you cut the local and property real
tax.
Estate. Oh, my goodness.
Who's against that?
New Jersey. New York, the highest property tax states in the nation.
If you guys
if you're not, if my property tax payments are not deductible, then I have no reason to stay in New Jersey, the highest tax property tax in the nation. Remember, my little stupid commercial building that houses SDL here is $20,000 a year in taxes.
No.
$20,000 a year.
$20,000.
And if I can't deduct that, that means that I'm going to have to pay a tax burden of $7,000 to $10,000 on that money.
Yeah.
So it'll raise my taxes by $7,000 to $10,000 just by operation of being unable to deduct the property tax on this building. Then there's my personal residence and others in New Jersey that I will sell.
What's your taxes on the house? Can you mind saying?
Not my house, my personal house?
Yeah.
$21,000.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
No, sir.
You have $40,000 in property taxes between your company and your house?
Just those two. Then I own another house and two rental properties.
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
What do they do with all that money?
What do they do with the money? Well, they try to pay their pensions that they promised.
Oh, good.
And, of course, they spend it on new hires. And remember, I told you, 1 in 8 people in this state work for the government.
Man, you got to move to Texas, too.
I got to move, and I'm ready. I sold the big house now. The big house, as I've said on previous shows, that's gone. And so I'm no longer living in the larger of my two homes in New Jersey, and now I'm in the other one, the smaller of which is still $14,000 in taxes for that one. So
how do people even afford that?
I don't know. And I've asked politicians that very same question. You know, in South Carolina, once you turn 65, they freeze your property taxes.
Well, they just don't. They do in Texas as well.
They
but
don't
I believe,
do that in New Jersey,
I believe
man.
It's just the education portion. But that is a big part of it, isn't it? I think
it
in
is.
Texas. I don't think they freeze the whole
thing. They freeze the whole thing in South Carolina. Once you turn 65, and then when you turn 85?
Yeah.
You don't pay property tax.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there.
That's the way you're supposed to care for your elderly. And when I brought up this subject to a mayor here in New Jersey, he said to me, well, we need that. We need the high taxes to drive the old people out so that young people can come and take their place. Oh. Unbelievable.
Why don't they just
attitude.
Sell medical and recreational wacky tobacco and tax it and save the whole thing?
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of money there. You know, have you seen some of the numbers that are coming in Denver?
Oh, sure.
A lot of big bucks, man.
A lot of big bucks, a lot of money
being
made.
And also Nevada, right?
Well, they could do a lot to help the populace, the citizenry, with that money, but they won't.
No, they'll steal it.
That's right.
They'll steal it.
Here in New Jersey, their disdain for the elderly is palpable. So I, with some partners, proposed a 36-unit, one-bedroom apartment building with a parking garage underneath.
Mm-hmm.
It would have exceeded the height allowed by 8 feet.
Yeah.
So that's what I needed a variance for. So I needed a variance to allow me to build this building 8 feet higher than the code allowed for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was so that we could provide 36 one-bedroom apartments at a rate of $1,000 a month to citizen residents of Hawthorne who were older than 55.
Good for you.
So this would have been a senior citizens housing complex,
an assisted living complex.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So with medical care in the bottom of the building and apartments in the top of the building and buses to get the seniors where they need to go. Do you know what the town told me?
What?
We don't need it.
We don't need
We don't need it.
What do
we don't need it. We don't need to take care of the seniors.
But you would have paid a lot of property tax on that.
Well, sure I would have. And it's two ridiculously vacant lots. Mine, which has an old decrepit house on it, and my partner, who has the lot next door. And so together we were going to combine these lots and provide 36 affordable rental units for the elderly of our town, shot down. Absolutely no. And the taxes on this thing would have been in excess of $50,000 a year. That's not even important. What's important is that it would have provided housing for 36 seniors who are now going to have to, and their spouses, who are now going to have to leave this town and go somewhere else
because
they can't afford to live here.
Well, send them to Texas. Everybody else is coming here.
Yeah, what was that old saying? Go to hell, I'm going to Texas.
I'm going to Texas.
Yeah.
Andrew Goss, he is a currency historian. He buys and sells gold coins for a living. So now he's going to go back and do his living. And what's your number up there? We got anything, got anything to sell?
Buying and selling what's coins all day long. Buying and selling coins. So
buying and selling
number 1-800-468-2646. It is a two-way street, folks. I don't make them anymore. So... You know, the only way I can get coins to sell is by buying them. So either way, buying or selling rare American coins, give us a call, 800 468-2646.
And I'll just leave you with this, Andrew, in case you're looking for some place to live. You go down to Venezuela.
No.
And then they have the Venezuela Boulevard.
No.
And their current annual interest inflation rate, do you know what it is? 2,875%.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Holy camoli.
Yeah, that's as soon as they get money, they turn it into anything. Roofing, shingles, bricks, they don't care. Anything but
I've
boulevards.
Never seen 2,800%
annually.
Annual interest. I mean, inflation rate.
Inflation rate.
Man. Get some old $100 bills down there, you could buy a bunch of stuff, couldn't you?
Yes, you could if you could keep it, because the unrest is unbelievable. Yeah, so and this is what happens, right? So believe me, it's not a pretty picture. I'm happy I'm not in Venezuela. I will never leave the United States.
All right, Mr. G, thanks for your help.
Thanks for
having me. See you soon. Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, One Radio Network, and we have a great show for you tomorrow. Folks, let me grab... Well, I'll just be here and be square, and we'll put it on Facebook and on the front page. And some fun people. Thanks a lot.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Yeah. Okay, floating away here, guys.